Okay, I was still looking at the name of Jesus. We'll be looking at that all our lives, right, and being so appreciative of that. But we were talking about how the proficiency of the believer's authority is dependent upon your faith in the name of Jesus. And we must believe in the authority of the name, or otherwise we will not get results. If you don't think you can, you won't. And because the devil knows that. And you understand he's a spiritual being. So he's not listening to your natural words. He knows whether or not you're speaking out of authority or not. And every born-again believer has the God-given right and responsibility to go forth and minister to others in the name of Jesus. Now, I need to qualify this. You can't act presumptuously. You don't go beyond what you know. You understand? And you don't have authority over another person. And for you to minister to that other person must give you authority to do that. And a lot of people don't realize this, and they overstep their boundary. If there's something in your life, if there's a sin in your life that you don't want to get rid of, I don't have authority over that sin in your life. I can rebuke it till I'm blue in the face. I can't make it leave. Not as long as you want it. You have the authority. Now, if you give me authority, you say I'm struggling in an area and I need help and I want to get rid of this thing. Now you've given me authority that we can come in and use that authority in the name of Jesus. But this is not witchcraft. You don't wave some magic wand over somebody and just zap them and all this type thing. I mean, this is extremely serious. We're talking about authority and how we use that authority that's in the name of Jesus. Acts 4:12 tells us that there's not another name under heaven that's given among men whereby they can be saved but the name of Jesus. Now, when we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel, then what are we to do? We're to talk about Jesus. We talk about the name of Jesus. That's your salvation. You believe in Him. You believe on this name, God's Son. God named His Son Jesus, okay? And it doesn't matter all these gods and all these other things. All that stuff is irrelevant. We're talking about the name of a person. The name of a person. So if I believe in the name of a person, I believe in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're to go out and we're to present that name. But now here again, you don't force feed people. You know, if a guy says, I don't want to hear that, then back off, because he just shut the door to any authority that you have. Unless the Spirit of God tells you anything otherwise, you don't go any farther with that. You know, I've visited people. As a matter of fact, there was a particular gentleman. Someone asked me if I would go up and said, this guy really needs you to minister to him. And so I went up and introduced myself and I said, you know, I told him who I was, and I said, would you like for me to pray with you? He said, no. I said, okay. I said, you know, I told him who I was, how to get in touch with me. If you ever need me, call me. Don't take offense to that. He doesn't know what he's saying. Yeah, anybody that turns Jesus away doesn't know what they're doing. What did Jesus say from the cross? That's the ones that are killing him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You understand? And so you can't take these things personally, because you'll find in ministry that you will be rejected. Jesus was. He said, if they did this in a grain tree, what do you think they'll do in a dry? Okay? In this world, you will have. It's not that there's a possibility. You will have tribulation, but you can overcome it because He overcame, okay? And so, when we're ministering, we have to understand we're there as a representative of Jesus, so anything that we're doing in Jesus' name, if it's accepted, Jesus is accepted. If it's rejected, Jesus has been rejected. So you don't take it personally. You don't get upset with a person. If you need me, call me. And be genuine about that. And if they call you, go back and say nothing about the incident in the past. Dale could tell you some stuff. He had to happen just not too long ago, right? Rejection personified. But he ended up went in a man of the Lord after a few days. Because he wouldn't take offense. Don't take offense. Okay? The religious leaders confronted Peter and John because of the name of Jesus. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this here in this day and time right now, that how much opposition there is to the name Jesus. Remember the 911 incident when they had the prayer and all that, and all the ministers that were gathered together to pray. Some of you remember that? Hadn't been that long ago. Okay. They were told not to say the name of Jesus. Now, Franklin Graham violated that. You know, I was asked to pray at a citywide deal they had here year before last. And I said, I will under one condition. I said, I will use the name of Jesus. Otherwise, I might as well spit in the wind because the prayer is worthless. You understand? I have no authority except in the name of Jesus. And they were okay with that. So, it didn't do anything earth-shaking that I saw, but it followed my convictions. Okay? And you have to make, there's statements that are made. You get the name of Jesus out. You don't always look for something great and dramatic to happen. But now Jesus has ascended back into heaven, and there's a man there that Jesus didn't heal. You ever thought about that? The crippled man that laid at the gate, beautiful? You think he wasn't there when Jesus was in ministry? They'd been bringing him there. Jesus healed everybody that came to him for healing, but he didn't heal everybody. Do you get that? Those who came to him for healing got healed. But he didn't go out just soliciting and trying to heal everybody on earth. Had he done that, there wouldn't have been anybody for Peter and John to minister to, or Paul, or any of the rest of them. You with me? Those who came to him were giving him authority. You see that? They were yielding their authority to him. Minister to me. Minister to me. So what does Peter and John do with this guy? They have to get him into that area. You're wanting money. We don't have money to give you. But we have something to give you. At least they knew they had something to give. You with me? And in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Well, he didn't just walk. He didn't do what they said. He started leaping and dancing. And then when the crowd came, they said, why are you looking at us like we did something? Well, we're some great power. It's the name and faith in the name that made this man whole. Well, word gets back to the religious people. And the council calls them on the carpet. I like the boldness of Peter. You decide whether we listen to you or God. But as for us, we're going to teach and preach what we know, what we've experienced. And they didn't stop. But they said, They didn't tell them to stop preaching and teaching. They said, don't use the name. Now, the reason is because the name has authority. So that's why all the opposition is against Jesus. They don't want you to use the name of Jesus, because if you don't know to use the name of Jesus, you have no authority. You're no threat to the devil. So all these religions that won't use the name of Jesus, the devil doesn't care how much you preach. You're no threat to him. But the name of Jesus is authority over him. And that's what you have to realize. That's why you never back down from the name of Jesus. No, that's your authority. You don't deny the name of Jesus. It's like Peter and John. You decide whether we should obey you or God. We're going to obey God. Well, the Word of God says, go in His name. Doesn't it? Isn't that the commission? In my name you cast out devils. Not in your name, in my name. Not in the name of anyone else. In the name of Jesus, that's where the authority is. Satan knows that, so he'll raise up all types of people to oppose the using of the name of Jesus. Well, don't use that name, you might offend. So it's all right for you to offend me, but I'm not to offend you. So you can use the name of any god you want to, or the devil himself, and I'm supposed to stand there and idly by and say, well, that's all right. I mean, you go ahead and worship the devil, you know. I wouldn't want to stop you from doing anything like that. But, you know, I'll back down from Jesus. That's what you say. No, you don't back down from Jesus. We stopped supporting a prison minister because they would embrace ministering any other religion. Now, I'm not going to support you if you're participating in any other religious service. You're not using the name of Jesus. You're not my ally. You understand? I work with those who use the name of Jesus. But those who don't stay with the Word of God with the name of Jesus, we have nothing in common. We don't share the same vision. And so we have no intentions of backing down from Jesus. We're here to spread the good news, not to withdraw. We're not to go in the closet and let the perverts come out. That's how they got out, because we went in the closet. No, we're coming out of the closet. You got it. Okay? I'm not a closet preacher. You understand? We don't pick on anybody. God can deliver them if they want to be delivered. But they have to want to be delivered. Don't you try justifying them. Don't you try telling me you're an ordained preacher and all that. You're an ordained idiot is what you are, and you're just calling yourself a preacher. Because you're a pervert, and your destiny sealed if you don't give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be saved. You have to be delivered. You have to be set free. Simple as that. It's not an alternate lifestyle. It is called S-I-N, sin. And you need to be delivered from that. And I'm not just picking on that. It's anything else. Regardless of what it is. Do you understand your authority? You realize your authority in the name of Jesus. So if you don't realize your authority, you're not going to be effective against in ministry, and certainly when there's opposition to that, when Satan stands up, then you can't be intimidated by the devil. It amazes me how people are intimidated by going on this place or whatever. Now, there's wisdom, and I'll say that. I'm not afraid of the devil. But I'm not just going to go camp down in the devil's territory. Unless God sends me there, I'm not going to do it. I had an incident to happen to me in Guatemala. Probably shouldn't have said that, but I did. Okay, it's the truth, so it'll stand. And I was with, we were there ministering, and I was with two other minister friends. So they wanted to go tour the presidential palace. I'm not a tourist. I mean, you know, big deal. But anyway, I went down there. I mean, I walked down there with them. And when I got through the security, and you go up steps, you go up these steps, and it turns, and you go up another flight of steps. And when I went up the first steps, it had paintings on the wall, and it was an altar and a chicken's head off and the blood being drained on that altar. And just on the inside of me, I said, this is demonic. I didn't say anything out loud. I just said, this is demonic. And all of a sudden, I was attacked physically. I could hardly stand up. I made it up the next flight of steps, and I thought, I'm not going to subject myself to this. So I told my friends, I said, you go on, I'm going to go back to the hotel. And I went back to the hotel, and I fought that the whole trip. Actually, got cholera. And we would drive for 2 hours. And let me tell you, if you don't know what cholera is, you don't want to know. I pray in the Spirit all the way there. And then when it came time for me to speak, when I would speak, it would leave. And while I'm preaching and when I lay hands on people, it was it was gone. And as soon as it was over, it would come right back. I pray in the Spirit all the way back to the hotel. This went on day after day. God's grace was sufficient, but let me tell you something. I'm glad it wasn't another step to take. I'll promise you that. It was like that for the whole time. And I know what it was. It was demonic. I know it was demonic. I know when it happened. And so I just don't go in. I don't know if you've ever been to the temples of India. Yeah, I've been invited. I said, no, I don't care a thing about going there. I'm not interested in going into the temples. I'm not interested in all this other stuff. And I have stood outside and watched activity and sat there amazed at the abuse people do and the agony on their face, and they call that worship. No, don't subject yourself to the devil purposely, just daring him to do anything. But if you understand, we're not running from the devil. If we would have canceled our speaking engagements, we'd have been running. But you trust God that God's going to get you through this without great embarrassment and all this other stuff that goes with it. You understand? And I can testify to you tonight, He did. Okay? But I don't chase devils. But don't run from the devil. You know, the armor in Ephesians 6 has no protection on the backside. You don't defeat the enemy with your back to him. You defeat the enemy head on. And retreat just wasn't part of my vocabulary. Okay? No, it's head on. If I'm facing him head on, God's going to cover my backside. If I face him head on. Okay? But you do that not in your power, not in your might, not in your authority. It's in the name of Jesus. I'm representing Jesus. I have authority over the power. If I don't exercise my authority, I will be dominated by the power. Do you understand? That's why a lot of people will be... Now, it's amazing to hear people talk about the devil's been after me all week, or the devil's been talking to me all week. I've been fighting devils all week. Why? I asked the guy, the devil's been talking to me all week. I said, why do you listen? The devil, by the word of God, the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. There's no truth in him. Would you, in the natural, just subject yourself to listen to a liar every day? You know he's a liar. Lying doesn't entertain me. I know the devil's a liar. So what do? You take control of that thought. You wouldn't believe the things that come at me. God cares less about you. God doesn't love you. I mean, there for a period of time, I was hearing that regularly. It hadn't been so long ago. God doesn't love you. God could care less about you. So here's how you counter that. Father, I just thank you that you love me. I thank you that you gave your son for me. I thank you you redeemed me. I thank you that you live on the inside of me. I'm not arguing with the devil. But you know what he has to do? When you subject yourself to God, submit yourself to God, the devil has to flee. And when you do that, he'll flee. But it's not, I rebuke you, devil, I rebuke you, devil. And a lot of people think, I rebuke you, devil. No, I'm going to talk to God, not the devil. Now, when I have to confront the devil, I'll talk to the devil. Shut up, come out. But you don't engage in conversation. And sit there and ask him, how's his family doing? And all this other stuff. I mean, it's just amazing what people do. You understand? No, don't listen to the lie. Your fight is your thoughts. Well, the Bible says we wrestle not against principalities and powers. Or, pardon me, we wrestle against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness. So you think you're in a wrestling match with the devil? Why don't you read 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter with that? It says, for the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So what do? You capture the thought. So where is this wrestling match going on? It's going on in your thinking. The Word of God. You hear the Word of God and Satan counters that. That's not true. That's not for you. That passed away and all this other stuff that people say. And so you have to make a choice of which thought you're going to suppress. Are you going to suppress the thought of God, or are you going to suppress the thought that comes by the enemy? And the bottom line is, if I submit to the Word of God, that means I come under. So if I'm under God, Satan's not. So he's not going to be there. You with me? And he flees from you. So we subject ourselves to God. And I'm going to tell you, this is the way you resist the devil. I hear people say, resist the devil, resist the devil, resist the devil. I'm going to tell you, submit to God, submit to God, submit to God. If you'll submit to God, you'll resist the devil. If you don't submit to God, you can't resist the devil. You can fight all you want to. He'll wear you out. You submit to God. You submit to God. You submit to God. Okay? You come under the authority of God, you're not under the authority of the devil. If I'm under the authority of God, I'm not under the authority of the world. Do you realize that's what Peter and John were saying to Caiaphas and these guys? We're under the authority of God. You decide whether we obey God or men. We're under the authority of God. We're ruled by the kingdom of heaven, not by the kingdom of men. You guys have a natural rule. We're under a spiritual rule. And so we're going to stay submitted to that. Yeah, they got whipped. But what did they do? God, give us more boldness. Speak your word. And went out rejoicing that they were counted worthy. Wow. I'm going to tell you, you submitted when you did that. You understand? But they knew their authority and they never backed down from their authority. And because of that, Look how many people were healed and set free because they did not stop using the name of Jesus. What happens if you stop using the name of Jesus? Who's going to loose the people? There's no other way to loose people who are bound. You understand? There's no other way to set the captives free. And I'm telling you, back many years ago, the Lord spoke to me personally. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on you because, and that's what, and He stopped there. Because. And then He said, I've anointed you. And then He went on to tell me that the same anointing that was on the head is on the body. Jesus made the statement, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recover sight to the blind, to proclaim the, to set at liberty those who are bruised and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Well, is not the Spirit of the Lord upon the body to do the same thing? And so that's meant something to me. I'm anointed. What does that mean? I'm set apart. What sets me apart? The name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You understand that? It's the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's not your great anointing. It's not your greatness. It's God. That's what you have to understand. It's not the man of God. It's the God of man. It's always the God of man. And when God sets man apart, that simply means you're representing Him. Now, you'd better wake up and represent Him well. Don't misrepresent Him. And if I step outside the Word or the parameters of the Word, it's a misrepresentation of God. But as long as I'm staying in the Word of God, submitted to God, heaven is backing me. So there is supernatural force. You understand? But if you go against the enemy, intimidated, you're afraid, he knows you're afraid. You understand? He's got you. No, you use fear for you. Get fear of God. Let the fear of God overcome the fear of the devil. Fear God more than you fear the devil. You with me? And when you get that reverential fear of God, not that I'm afraid God's going to beat me up. I haven't worried at all today whether or not God's going to slap me around. I know that He'll do me good and He's never done me anything but good. But I have an awesome respect for Him. So I fear Him. From that respect, I don't want to miss God. I don't want to miss God. Not because I'm afraid God will do to me. I don't want to misrepresent Him because of what I'll do to Him. Give Him a bad name. Do you understand? And the church has given God a bad name in earth. Because we've misrepresented Him by not understanding the name of Jesus and how important that name is. You can't even get to the Father without going through Jesus. You have no access to Him without Jesus. Jesus said, no man can come but to the Father except by me. So our emphasis has to be on Jesus, and if our emphasis is on Jesus, our emphasis is going to be on the name of Jesus. Okay? Now, we're going to get into this part of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And here again, anointing is simply setting you apart. And we'll talk about this, how the way people were set apart under the Old Covenant was with something natural, oil, a special ingredient, oil. The way people are set apart under the New Covenant is not with something natural, but it's by the Spirit of God. You think about all the ordination services where people have laid hands on ministers and ordained them to be ministers, did the Holy Spirit do it? You're backed by the power that ordained you. And if all it is a natural association, the only backing you have is natural power. Back in my early years of ministry, I was still pretty reckless. And I had a person, I was teaching things they didn't believe. I was just teaching what God gave me. And the person said, you know that the organization that had ordained me, he said, you know that I could have your credentials pulled. I said, let me tell you something. I don't care. Because they are not the ones that called me to preach. God's the one that called me. God's the one that ordained me. That piece of paper has nothing to do. They have no power to give me. You understand? I'll go with the power of God. Now, the interesting thing about this, that person backed down just like that. I knew what it was. It was a threat, a minister trying to intimidate me because of what we were doing. You understand? It hadn't all been a bed of wages, believe it or not. But it's worth it to stand up for the Lord because the Lord will stand up for you. There's a song that talks about Stephen stood up for Jesus and Jesus stood up for him. Think about it. Well, I see Jesus not seated at the right hand of the Father. I see Jesus standing. Why? He wouldn't back down. And we've got to get that type of mentality on the inside of us. There's nothing more important than Jesus. I mean, that's my life. So am I going to back away from my life? Am I going to give up the name? To give up my name? To give up the name of Jesus? I'm giving up my life. I'm giving up eternal life. No. It's the time to take up arms. You understand? And I'm not talking about flesh. I'm talking about spirit. And we do these things in the spirit. We do it by the spirit. And we're going to talk about not being presumptuous with the name of Jesus. Just assuming that you can do this, that, or the other. Jesus did not act independently of His Father. Everything He did by the instruction of His Father. You with me? I don't think I'll go over here and cast the devil out. That's not what He's thinking. He's being led. He's being led. Go here. Go there. I must needs go through this village. You know what He's saying? My Father has told me to go through this village. Something's here. Something's going to happen here. He goes where He's supposed to. When there at the well, fourth chapter of John with the Samaritan woman, He was right on time where He was supposed to be. It was a divine encounter. It was a setup. You understand? And I believe that we need to be sensitive to the Spirit.